Okay, January 27th, 2012, at 16:54 hours, Detective Joe Evans with Cap. Matt, when you got the call to come to this thing?
Yeah, I was at the station sitting at my desk doing a report.
Okay. And do you remember what the call was initially about?
It was called a behavior emergency.
Okay. And so you guys load up in your fire truck,
right,
and off you come.
We responded code, and it was to stage for PD, but before we got here, an officer came next to us. We slowed down so we could pass. As he stopped, he said, "There's been a shooting. You're clear to go in."
Okay, so now is this down while you're down on Hitch Road? Or up here,
yes.
By Citrus?
No, up here by Citrus.
Okay, so the police officer pulls up next to you because he's going by you.
Right.
And he says, "Hey, there's been a shooting. Come on in."
Right.
Okay, so you guys come on in. Is AMR behind you as you're coming
up? Yes, AMR behind us, and I told them to come in with us, that we get cleared and told dispatch on the radio.
Excellent.
At that point, I saw the officers. I actually saw the victim down. I could see him coming up the road.
Oh, could you? Yeah. And this is the white guy laying next to the silver car?
That's
And
him.
The silver car is backed out into the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as you get there and you guys stop your fire engine, what do you do next?
First thing I do is the paramedic gets out. He hands me this little manual that we have to put on the vitals in. I grab that and I approach the victim, look at the officers, and I look down to do an evaluation. And that by that time, I had AMR and Greg was on top of me.
Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. As you're walking up, who else is in the area besides the victim?
I assume they're police officers.
Okay.
Two police officers, one in a t-shirt and another, and one in a uniform.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
And the one in a t-shirt, did he have anything identify himself as a police officer?
Yeah, he had the chain with the badge on.
The badge on?
And looked like he was shooken up, I didn't know if he was involved in the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I kind of was focusing on the patient.
Okay. And where are they in relationship to the victim, these police officers?
Probably 3 feet back.
Okay.
Towards the house.
Oh, okay, so they're between the victim and the house then.
Right.
Okay, good. Yeah. So you get up to the victim, and what do you guys do?
At that point, I checked to see, he's breathing or not. Greg started turn the monitor on. We put some gloves on. AMR cut the shirt so we could put some monitor, see what his heart rate was, was breathing.
Mm-hmm.
We could definitely tell he was, and his heart rate was below 30, so obviously, you could see from the injuries that occurred that he was going to be deceased, or he was deceased.
Okay.
We call it clinically dead.
Clinically dead. Okay. Who, and how did that call get made?
What we do is we call the hospital. I had the paramedic call the hospital.
That'd be
and Greg tells him everything that we have on the monitor, and then the hospital says has Greg pronounced, since he's
okay.
A paramedic.
Do you know who the doctor was who pronounced the picture?
I do, but I forgot his name.
Is it written down somewhere?
Yes, Greg, we have it written.
Okay, good. I'll get it when we go back up to your thing then. Okay, so he's pronounced dead. So then, what do you guys do?
We back up. I asked him if he'd like a blanket. They said not at this time. And then the next thing, another officer came in and said the father's inside. He's has heart problems. Could you check him? And so we removed our gloves because they were bloody from the first victim. Went inside, talked to the father. His name was Ed, and Ed had stated to us, told us what had happened.
What did he tell you?
He said that he said he heard that the officer told his son to put the knife down 3 times, and then he heard some shots fire, and I said, well, just let's concentrate on you right now. And so we patched him up, and he had what's called he had an irregular heartbeat, which he said he already had. He had medications for it. We recommend that he goes to hospital, but he refused treatment. So we have what's called a release of liability for
correct
him.
Against better medical orders or whatever.
And he should have gone, but he did say that the officers did it was justified. He said.
Tell me how he said that, and how that connotation, how that came up in a conversation.
Well, because I just let him talk, he said he heard, we know you're upset. He goes, I know upset. I heard the officer tell my son to put the knife down 3 times, and then I heard the shots fire, and I don't know if he saw it, because he said he saw it, but it didn't sound like the way he was talking, because I saw it happen, but it was a justified shooting. My son came
after
him.
He used those words?
I don't know if he said it. He said the shooting was right, or I think he said justified.
Okay.
I know he did. I think it's one of those words he said, saying that it was, his son was at fault. So.
Okay. All right. That was the impression you came out of it.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Okay. All right. So after you take care of him and he decides not to go to the hospital, is there anybody else in the house?
There was another lady that came in the house. There was another lady that came from the back room, dark-haired, long-haired, was rubbing his back. And I said, you know, we recommend that he goes to the hospital. And she says, well, I understand that. She was very nice, and that was pretty much it. There was another lady in the house crying when we first got in, and I think that was his daughter. But she went to the back room.
Was either one of these ladies present when he told you that he heard the shooting?
No.
Did whoever this other girl, any possibility that she talked to you guys at all, or did she go right to the back room?
No, she, and I think she said daddy. No, she just went, she was crying. We came, I said, hey, fire department, we're here to see someone here that has chest pains. And she looked at her dad, which I obviously, it was, he was very obvious that it was him. Mm-hmm. And then she. Was very upset, and then that's when we started talking, and I said, well, we're here for the fire department, and this is what we'd like to do. You know, you can refuse treatment, but we're here, let us check you out. And he was very nice, was very, very cooperative.
Okay, very good. So after you check him out, where do you guys go from there?
From that point, we came back outside, cleaned the gear all up to get it ready, and then we were just waiting for what we could do anything for you.
Excellent.
Oh, no, I know what happened. I don't know if he shot, but we got the officer that shot the guy, but there was a guy sitting next to the engine. And I opened the engine and said, why don't you come in here and sit down and make yourself more comfortable.
Now, this police officer, what was he?
He was in a suit and tie.
Suit and tie, you remember the color of shirt?
Shoot, no, I think it was a white shirt. Fairly tall guy, it looked like he had red hair. So, then he seemed upset, and so I tried to say, hey, if there's anything you need, you know, you just tell us, we'll get you. And I think one of the guys got him a bottle of water.
Okay, very good. Is there anything else that that I haven't talked to you about in regards to this incident that you think I need to know?
No, I thought everything went real well. The officers directed us right into where we needed to be. Mm-hmm. We tried to get as close as we can because we don't know, you know, where the patient is. But I obviously saw the patient. The engineer who was driving didn't see it, so that's when I told him to stop. That's why we're at an odd place there.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think everything was.
You understand the engineer is having to thread his needle between a car door and some poles and stuff.
Right. And he didn't actually see the guy. So
no,
I thought
he didn't.
Yeah, that's what he told me, but I thought he did. So I kept saying, you know, no, you can stop here, But he said, I can't, I've got to go around. And then he said, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to conclude the interview at 1702 hours.